Boom. Well, I hope that woke you all up. First of all, a warm welcome. Thanks for being on the stream this evening. I don't know if you're melting like I am because it's we're all well, certainly if you're watching this in the UK, it's a bit of a heat wave. So that is not something that I'm used to over where I live. So it's a bit of a challenge, but good to say. Good, have to say I've got my water. So yeah, it is water. So hopefully that should see me through this stream. So yeah, so as you join, we just go through a normal little preamble. So hi, Chris Davis, by the way. Welcome back. You've been missing, man overboard. If you're watching this, doesn't matter where you're watching it, in Odyssey, Brand YouTube, BitChute. If you're listening to it over on Podbean or over on Facebook, do the usual, subscribe, hit the subscribe. Get notifications. All the social media links are down below, so you can find me on Getter and on Telegram and all the usual channels. But do go there. You should go there, get different stuff. Give it the thumbs up if you like what we're going to chat about. We're going to sort out racism in sports. So that's a big topic, but our special guest will be able to do all that. And then, of course, last but by no means least, if you want to support us in a meaningful way, you can go to altnewsmedia.net/donate. Lovely little box where it's all been designed up there, and you can drop a few pennies in the hat. I mean, what else are you going to do with your cash these days, frankly? So anyway, that's the preamble. I think we will get stuck into the topic du jour. So then, without further ado, let me bring on our special guest, and that's my co-founder of Alt News Media, Ed. Welcome to the stream, Ed.
Hi David, you okay?
Yeah, I'm absolutely fine. Yeah, how are you enjoying all this hot weather then?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, to be honest with you. It's kind of making up for not being able to travel to where I'd probably be in Texas or somewhere like that at the moment. So it's kind of taking my mind off not being able to just freely travel around where I'd want to go. So, but yeah, it is warm. I mean, I got in the car and it was parked up. It was registering 35 at one point. So, I mean, that's for this country, that's pretty hot, isn't it? So,
It
yeah.
is. It really is. But we shouldn't really complain on the simple basis.
No.
We don't really get enough of this. So okay. So let's get into our hot topic, which I should really set this one up. There's a little bit of a delay on the stream at the moment, but anyway, I'll carry on. So Ed, one of the things that you were doing over at Alt News Media during the whole furore over the alleged racism towards certain English players was you put out a stream of what I thought were excellent tweets, really, really good tweets. And so I thought it would be really good to come on and just amplify some of the things that you were saying. To put it all in context, Jed, just bring up the first image, Ed. Now, this is just something that, of course, put it all in context. Do you remember? This is only a week. It seems a lot much longer when the Boris Johnson, our Prime Minister, condemned the appalling racist abuse of England players. When this was obviously Ed. You could probably pronounce their names better than me, but Saka, Rashford, and Sancho were all targeted by, if you believe the media, a multitude of English racists in football having a go at them just because of their skin color. Not to do with the fact they missed their penalty. No, that's not here nor there. So we got that. And that was, I guess that's the context. So what was your take on all of this? Racism in football in particular, which is one of your favorite sports, I know.
So I think from my perspective, I was away. I had a little trip away, and I was kind of watching all this unfold from afar. And as someone, I've gone to the football all my life. I'm a season ticket holder. I watch Liverpool and have done for many years, since I was knee high to a grasshopper. And for probably 30 years, I haven't witnessed a single problem with racism in football. Not one. I cannot you know, I can hand on heart say there hasn't been one. And what I, like any football fan that actually, I'm not talking about the Sky generation, but the ones who actually go and you know, the fans who've been going for years. Yeah. What I like about it is you stand next to people or sit next to people and it doesn't matter what their views are, what the anything about them, you're all on the same side and you're all in it together and you're all pulling in the same direction. And I think what we've seen creep in is the attempt from political people to latch on. I don't think they've ever liked football. I don't think the political class have ever liked football, if I'm really honest. I think they've always had it in for football. They kind of look down the nose at football. And I kind of got the feeling they were writing the stories before the facts came along, because as I say, there isn't a problem. There genuinely isn't a problem. You do not see any issues whatsoever at football. You might get across a season, a handful across all the Premiership clubs of incidents. You know, these are one, maybe two people, which probably is less than society at large. So what it felt like was a concerted effort to kind of target and smear and politicise football and football fans. And it kind of makes you think, why would they want to do that? And what are the motives? And we can probably talk about some of that later on. But everybody went with it. I mean, the government, the media, everybody went for this terrible, terrible, terrible abuse and all the rest of it. And of course, you know, it goes without saying racism is absolutely abhorrent and any racist abuse cannot be tolerated. 100%, you know, no question. However, the kind of volumes that we saw were not, David's gone, but I'll carry on. The kind of volumes that we saw were not even, they weren't even marginal. I think we got to down to something like five people that had been actually identified as UK and tweet as in tweeting from the UK that had been pulled in. So that when you actually apply mathematics, that meant 99.999992% of people didn't send abusive tweets and messages. And then, of course, and I call this day one, the Marcus Rashford mural got defaced. I said, you live in the northwest of England. Football rivalry and tribalism is on another level. So, you know, he missed the penalty. Yeah. He was going to get abused. That's football. You know, without any evidence, you know, Twitter, all this when Trump tweeted, wasn't it, without evidence or baseless claims. But baselessly and without evidence, media claimed this was a racist graffiti attack on the mural. And the police knew it wasn't. They obviously knew it wasn't and let the thing run for 4 or 5 days before saying, well, actually, yeah, it wasn't. It's just some teenager, you know, and they're just writing some abusive graffiti, which is... So this whole thing has been blown... To say it's been blown out of proportion is an understatement. It's been massively blown out of proportion. And actually, it has the opposite effect to what anti-racists might want in that... We should treat all the footballers the same. They deserved abuse for missing the penalties. I mean, Rashford's showboating penalty deserves stick from football fans. But we've got this message of you can't criticise the players that aren't white. And that straight away is a problem as a sports fan, because that's just the game. You know, equality is equality. You know, if you miss a penalty, you're going to get some stick. And this narrative of, oh, you know, we can't. And so I just found the whole thing immensely frustrating. It was so politicized, so spun, so out of proportion. It was untrue. So, yeah, I had to obviously respond a little bit when I saw what was happening.
Yeah, and I'm glad you did. But one of the things, the Marcus Rashford, you'll have to forgive my image, folks. I've got buffering issues here. But the Marcus, that mural there, they turned that into a shrine then, didn't they? All the little images of... all little notes of love and appreciation for Rashford. It was an amazing piece of contrivance, which oddly enough seems to follow Marcus around a little bit. But you know, that it really was something to behold, wasn't it? With the shrine, the mural that became the shrine.
That was a bigger shrine than if somebody has died. That is quite remarkable. And so, you know, let's be quite honest. You know, Rashford's a footballer. Primarily, and if you're a supporter of a football team, you want your footballer to focus on football 100%. So I'm sure a lot of Man United fans are frustrated that Rashford's been pretty poor the last year, and I'm sure a lot of it is to do with being pulled in many directions politically. He's got handlers, he's got advisors, as we know. He signed up with Roc Nation, which is Jay-Z's PR and marketing company, as has Tyrone Mings, coincidentally, who tweeted against Priti Patel, agency. So the whole thing just smells off in terms of politics. And, you know, I've been on here before talking to you about this. Whatever it is, we don't want politics in sport. Football fans do not want politics in sport of any shape or any form. It's nothing to do with that. It's a safe haven from the world going to the football match. And as much as people don't like it, football is tribal and we're all on the same side and all the rest of it. So it's horrendous. But, you know, Rashford is certainly being used and abused. And when I think the Spectator said they had some information on him they were going to publish, the machine moved into operation, didn't it? The David Lammies, everybody was in condemning the article before it had even been written. No one knew what was in it. I mean, he could have been an axe murderer, yet they've defended him. And this is the nonsense, isn't it? You know, he's not a saint. Lammy posted something saying he's given 125% of his wealth to charity. Crazy. He's an ambassador. That money's not from his pocket. Look at his car garage. Look at his, you know, look at his company that and what taxes paid for that. You know.
Yeah,
and this isn't a criticism of him. He's a young lad and he seems a really nice guy. But he needs to concentrate on his job, which is playing football, in my view, and get to the top of his game. And put this. And if he wants to get involved with this later in his life, great. But he's being used and abused by people that don't have, like Greta, don't have his best interests at heart. And it'll affect his football career. And it's putting him in the firing line. And it's to the detriment. Because at the end of the day, we went out the Euros because those three penalties were missed. And we fetishize those people as the heroes. I mean, EE or BT had a big banner up saying the three lions, and it was the three penalty miss people who missed the penalties. You think, well, hang on a minute. If you're Jordan Pickford, who was brilliant for the whole, or Sterling or Harry Kane, how insulting is that? The three failures are the ones who are. We've got this victim hero worship thing going on, or this, you know, failure of fetishizing a failure. So, sorry, I know that's a lot of rant off me, but feel strongly about it because we are the force in politics into football, and I'm just so against that. I really am.
I think that's my take on it as well, Ed, that the fact that they got away with taking the knee for so long when the stadiums were empty. And then when the fans came back, some of the fans, just like you and I suspect, like millions of others, you just go to watch a game. You're not interested in politics, left, right, centre. You want to see sport. So when they started to boo them, you could tell there was an awkwardness there. And during the Euros then, that continued, that awkwardness. And so in a way, it was like, okay, so they've run into bother with taking the knee to BLM Marxism. So they've run into trouble with that. And then these three guys just take really poor penalties, and so they run into trouble with that. So bang, default mode, racism. And that's what they did very, very successfully. The media were all over it.
Yeah, I mean, the media loves, and, you know, this is, everything has got to be racialized, hasn't it? And as I said before, it's contrary to equality. You know, what's the famous phrase? Judge me by the content of my character, not the color of my skin. And what we've got is a complete opposite of that. You know, it's going backwards at a rate of knots. You know, as I say, there isn't a problem. There genuinely isn't a problem. And I know some of these NGOs and charities and activist bodies want there to be a problem because they get funding if there's a problem. And so it's hyper sensationalized, it's hyper inflated, and all the rest of it. I genuinely, hand on heart, have not seen a problem for 30 years. And not a single issue of a chant or anything like that or abuse. And yeah, don't get me wrong, there was back in the late 80s and everything, but that's long gone. Those days have long gone.
You see, it's interesting that, Ed, because Rebecca Butler, who sometimes comes onto the stream here, she's a big football fan like yourself as well. And she says exactly the same as you say, that there hasn't been an issue in football now for many years, and you got to go back to the darker days of the 70s or maybe 80s, and football's really cleaned up its act. So to demonize English soccer fans as, you know, as essentially racist was pretty low blow. But then there was that issue about the actual origination of the tweets themselves anyway. I mean, I don't know what you reckon about the fact that the police were able to track down, I think, a couple of individuals within 24 hours. Meanwhile, grooming gangs go without any hassle from the police at all. But most of the tweets didn't even come from the UK, did they?
No. I mean, it was a number of different platforms. I think in total there were 100 and something, but I think 70% weren't of UK origin or couldn't be traced. And this was data from left-wing organisations who normally would amplify. So even that is probably over the top. Who knows? But again, incredible. It was, this was priority number one on the news cycle for 4 to 5 days. And, faces of people, broadcast and, it's all the, all the police, get off whatever job you're on. This is your priority. And at the end of the day, all right, emojis and unpleasant or whatever, but these are tweets. There are every day on Twitter you see violent assaults and people getting beaten to a pulp and all the rest of it. And we've kind of got to this place where, sticks and stones, what happened to that? Where, tweets and things are suddenly prioritized higher than any other crime. And that's wrong as a society. Again, that's wrong. But I say it's not a football problem. Anyone who's racist is the law is clear about it, and they need to be dealt with in the law. There isn't a disparate problem in football over society, and you will never get rid of it. Taking the knee, the people who are racist, actual racists, aren't going to change their mind because a load of people are taking the knee. I've changed my mind. It's crazy. The whole thing is ridiculous.
Yeah,
and what really irks me about the knee thing is they know that it's causing division. And that's what worries me. What's the end game here? Because they know it's split the fans. And a lot of fans won't boo because the clubs have threatened to ban season tickets and for life and things like that.
Yeah.
So more people, trust me, disagree with it. People who sit around me, for all different backgrounds, nobody agrees with it. But they won't boo because they don't want to lose. They've been going 40, 50 years, some of these people. So they've got to bully people into accepting something that they know is divisive. Now, if they stood up and linked arms, no problem. Everyone would just applaud. There'd be no... But it's linked to... Everyone associates taking a knee with Kaepernick, whatever his name is, the guy in America, disrespecting the national anthem. It was adopted by Black Lives Matter. The Black Power hand, so all that is political. And it's like saying, oh, well, what they're trying to say now is, well, we don't mean it for that. It's like saying, well, we're going to do Nazi salutes. It's not what Hitler was doing. We're doing it because it means something else to us. It's that argument. It's crazy. Of course it's linked to that. And why not just do something that all the fans will get behind? Why continue to divide people? And I think there's obviously a bigger agenda at play here.
It's an interesting point as well, because this story, because the media sat on it for 4 or 5 days, it actually made its way right across to the States, because I've spoken to people in the States and they were saying, hey, what's this crazy stuff going on in soccer in the UK? All this racism and guys' feelings being hurt. These are sensible people, by the way. And it just shows, the media can actually conjure up something out of pretty much nothing, which is what they did in this case.
Yep, happens all the time. Happens all the time. And I think it's incumbent on us as football fans to keep speaking up against it. I'd like to see some perhaps petitions or, a group of fans from all different clubs to come together and maybe start to lobby the FA and others, the Premier League. And I think we really, really need to put pressure on, if nothing else, to expose hypocrisy about the World Cup in Qatar next year and how, you can basically slag off your own fans, but you won't say a peep about probably one of the most regressive, misogynistic, homophobic regimes in the world. You'll go and perform and swell their coffers by playing football there.
There's that hypocrisy. But of course, it didn't. I mean, we did get that. I just want to bring up a couple of other images here, Ed. Just bring up the one about the police. If we can get it. Yeah, the police unit has been set up to investigate this racist abuse of England players after Euro 2020. The police, obviously, when they're not hassling people for not wearing masks and such like, they're now investigating hurdy tweets on Twitter. I mean, I'm really pleased that they didn't get a salary increase, by the way. What's your take on that? Do you think the police deserve a salary increase?
No, I think the police are appalling. I mean, how much of it is driven from the top, I don't know. I mean, the talk of Crusader Dick you know, extending her to disastrous policing. We've seen it all over the country for the last, well, it's more than 12 months. You know, it's gone on for longer than that. But, you know, you speak to any Joe public about where they want the police to prioritise, and trust me, it ain't patrolling Twitter. So, and, you know, we need to tell people to grow up. You know, if somebody's abusing you, just block them. You know, it's not the end of the world. You know, it's they're the ones with the problems. They're the idiots. They're the trolls. You know, and if they're saying something that's against the law, they need to be dealt with. But, you know, we can't focus on these things forever and keep them as hyper-sensationalized as they are. It's self-destructive and it's dividing society. It really is.
Well, like you say, you know, for someone to put ill-considered tweets out, crude, vulgar tweets out, using emojis in a bad way, I mean, yeah, that's all to be regretted. But it's not a crime. I don't believe that's a crime. I think people should grow up, like you rightly say, and just, you know, man up a bit. If I'm not using sexist language, man up and just cope with it. But the snowflake generation can't do that.
No. Absolutely. And, you know, anyone who goes on Twitter knows that everybody gets abuse. You know, I mean, death threats and all sorts, but it's unfortunately goes with the territory. And, you know, you've got a choice. You can get off it, you can block, you can, you know, at the end of the day, that's response. But if people aren't breaking the law, I don't know why the police are getting involved with these things. It's a complete mismanagement of resource. And you know, as somebody whose son had a £4,500 e-bike stolen 11 months ago and we're still waiting for the police to do a follow-up, it's a bit frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, I can understand that, yeah. But, of course, it's not just football, because if we look at the next slide, we've got it. We saw it at the weekend. We had the Formula One Grand Prix. And actually, Jed, you might want to weigh in on this one. So Formula One condemns online racist abuse of Lewis Hamilton after his British Grand Prix victory. And it's like, Jed's a big fan, Ed, of Formula One. So he's probably in a good position to weigh in on this one. I mean, what do you make of that, Jed? Did you think that, Hamilton was suffering unbearable racist abuse?
Hamilton hasn't suffered since the age of about 8, when he was picked up by McLaren, and they funded his career for many, many years. In fact, until he joined Mercedes. He's a multi-millionaire. He has his own clothing brand. Ethical clothing brand. Yeah. He's pushing out. He has his fingers in many other pies. If there's anybody oppressed on this planet, it is certainly not him.
I like the comment here, Jed. John Newell said, was the abuse from Verstappen? Is that the guy that he kind of knocked off the track in the first lap or something? Is that Verstappen?
It was. There's clearly quite a rivalry there between Verstappen, because Verstappen thinks he's got this season in the bag. Now, obviously, Red Bull have picked up the pace this year, and they have a good car, and they have a good car in him. But he's a young lad, as they all often are now in sport. Because they'd had the sprint race on Saturday. Sorry, it's not a race. You've not to call it a race. It's 17 laps. There is a winner, but it's not a race. It's a sprint. Verstappen had it there. He beat him. But when they went into that corner, I knew there was only one coming out of it. It was which one was going to come out. And then I can tell you now, this abuse that they say he's got, well, one, they never show it you, really. And just like with the Rashford stuff and the other footballers, they don't show you. Yeah, they say it happens, but they don't really show you what the tweets are. But it certainly wouldn't be British fans. Why would British fans racially abuse Hamilton when he won the Grand Prix on Sunday? The British Grand Prix.
Listen, that's it, Ed. And that's the point with the football thing as well. Because, again, to English sports fans in general, they have to be amongst the least racist in the world. People go to watch Marcus Rashford and these other guys day in, you know, week in, week out, pay loads of money. All they don't worry about the skin of his color. They worry about, can he get the ball in the net, I suppose, just like when it comes to Lewis Hamilton. They don't care about his skin color, but they do care about can he win the Grand Prix. So it's a real demonization of British people, isn't it, Ed?
It is. And I actually, I'm just going to bring it up here. I know you can't see this, but I'm just going to look at it again. It's a study that was done out of the States, actually, and it rates racist countries. It's the top 100 racist countries around the world. And you'll be interested to know Britain is, the UK is in the top, in Europe, two or three least racist countries in the world. So, you know, and this is why people want to come and live here, because it's a very, very tolerant society. So, you know, some of the countries that are more racist than the UK include Germany, Italy, Finland, you know, so all the African countries are behind us. And it just makes you question, why is this determination to paint Britain as this absolutely, you know, rampant racist country, when the reality is the opposite? And everybody knows it's the opposite. You know, people, it's you know, it's not 30, 40 years ago now. It's not a problem anywhere. So you've got to question again, why is this constantly rammed down our throats on a daily basis, when all the data, all the surveys, all the stats show that Britain is an incredibly tolerant country? And we are.
And that's true of Formula One as well, Jed, isn't it? I mean, it strikes me.
Absolutely. I tell you now, I'm not a football fan, but, you know, I'm speaking to definitely one football fan. And what you have at your football stadium is the opposing supporters at one end of the pitch and the home fans at the other end of the pitch. In Formula One, you don't have that. You know, a Lewis fan will be sat next to a Verstappen fan, sat next to, you know, a Lando Norris fan. It doesn't matter. Some people will have a Lando cap on and a Lewis, you know, T-shirt. Because the Brits, there is none of that rivalry. There's only rivalry on the track. And you can sit and talk to them and say, yeah, well, you know, I think Verstappen is the... And if he did this, and they go, yeah, but if Lewis did that... And you talk about it. We don't have to be separated. I've been to, you know, the F1. You're not separated. You're just fans of motorsport.
Yeah. But I'm putting this off because the buffering's annoying me too much. But here's the thing, Ed. You make a really good point. It's almost like they're trying to divide us even more, because all we seem to get these last, well, couple of years in particular, it's division. It's dividing people up, setting us against each other. And, you know, so it is disturbing. Why would they use an occasion like the Euro final, which was a big achievement for an England team to get to the Euro final? You get that far, and then what comes out the other end of it? This tirade about all these, you know, theoretical racists which infest the game. Why would someone push that narrative, do you reckon?
Well, I think there's an obsession from... I mean, this is a completely personal view, but I think if you roll back to 2016, I think this all started or ramped up and became an issue when Trump was running and he called out Islamic terrorism. And there was this sudden absolute furore of trying to paint him initially as a racist. And I think that's translated across the pond. And there's an obsession now with making Boris and the Tories, or painting them as racists. And so it's what it's done. It's seeped into everything now. There's any story, any info, anything at all, how could we get a race angle, and how can we kind of use it against those people we don't like? Because let's be honest, you know, Remain, Brexit's a part of it. There was the looking down the nose at those thick, stupid Northerners who voted Brexit. So, you know, and that's, they've got the way there. So let's call them all racist, because we thought we were back in 2016, and this is perhaps just another way to continue that bitterness and angriness, I guess, that they haven't quite got over yet. That's part of it, I think. But it's ultimately it's political, and I think it's aimed at undermining government as much as anything. And I think that's why this narrative just continues to play out. And
it is.
Boris hasn't got a spine. The West,
isn't it? To undermine the values of the West.
That's true. And unfortunately, we've got a leader without a spine that doesn't seem to push back. I mean, there's so many open goals to push back on you know, the people making accusations. And for whatever reason, he just doesn't seem to counter it. He just lets it all ride. And he actually joins in. Worse than that, he actually joins in.
That's it, Ed. I mean, Jed, the issue here for me is that the senior Conservative Party figures, like Johnson, for example, they were all over this, wringing their hands and, oh, yeah, we got to fight these awful racists. You know, as you say, Ed, no spine, and it doesn't half show.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think the people that voted, you know, the Tories really made a play on some of these things like immigration, that, and the, you know, and have actually turned out to be probably worse than Labour were when they were last in. So, yeah. So there's just all sorts going on. It's a very turbulent time. There's a lot of anger, a lot of resentment flying around. And, you know, what you've got to remember as well, you know, with football, as I said before, we're tribal. We are, as much as we want to deny science, it seems these days, we're tribal, we're animals. So we, you know, we do go into groups and we don't like people. And football allows that escapism. So we're all on one side and the other team's all on the other side. And what you've got to understand is for the last 120 years football's been around, people do anything to get under the skin of the opposition to get a rise. They'll use things that they think will really needle them or irritate them or anger them. And, you know, every now and then that will translate into race. And it's not, I don't think most of the time, because people are racist, they're just, that's just part of that kind of, you know what I mean? It's just... Yeah. In that heat of the moment or whatever, when they're trying to just really in the give a tirade of abuse, maybe that comes out. But, you know, because it's so hypersensitive at the moment that's amplified and that, you know, ooh, that's like crime of the century. And I think people just need to just calm, get a bit of perspective and calm down and realise that we were 95% there, you know, in eliminating racism in society, never mind football, and we're actually going the other way.
But I think there's another form of racism that isn't discussed so publicly. I saw a little video clip on the night of the final. You may have seen it as well, Ed and Jed. Ed and Jed, it's a great combo, by the way.
We'd make a good duo.
It's Jedward.
Stop it. Can you sing, Ed? I'll play guitar.
Okay, I'll see. Yeah,
but you maybe know what I'm going to say. I seen a clip on social media, and it was taken in a pub somewhere or a club or whatever. But anyway, they were watching the game, the group, and the people, and it was mostly black guys that were in the bar, and they were chanting, "Give it to the black guy, he'll score." That was the chant, and they kept chanting this, and then Rashford steps up, does the worst penalty of all time. And the video, at that point, it suddenly cuts off. But here's the thing. If that had been a group of guys saying, give it to the white guy, he'll score, we would still be talking about it. But that was just conveniently shoved down the memory hole. So I think there's a kind of, you know, racism is racism of any sort. You shouldn't be doing that. I think that's wrong. What did you think, Ed and Jed, about that clip?
I saw that clip as well. And you're right. If that had been reversed, then that pub would have been investigated, probably closed down. Yeah. And we'd have, you know, Sadiq Khan would have been issuing photo fits of everybody in the pub, like he did with the England fans who got through the gates. And, you know, so I think that's the other layer of this is the hypocrisy, because it is one way, 100% it's one way. And it comes back, we always talk about the media. The media will only amplify the stories like that, like the ones after the, and they will overlook the far more actually numerous stories of reverse. I mean, I see probably three or four horrendous videos a day, you know, people post of black on white violence, wherever it might be, but the Independent will still be posting something from last year because it shows a white woman abusing her. And they are the problem, you know, they are the ones that are causing this problem because they're not trying to be objective, you know, they've given you a very subjective view that they want people to think, and it isn't reality. There isn't a problem with racism on a scale that they're trying to portray. 100%.
Sorry, Jed, I just wanted to bring this one up. Ian asks the question, what about 90% of Scotland supporting Italy? Is that racist?
No. Over to you guys. I've got no problem with that. That's football. That is football. Listen, if Manchester United were playing in a final against anybody, I'd support the anybody. That's that's football. No problem. No problem with that.
Yeah.
You see, okay. You've just been talking about the papers and the media amplifying it. Well, the media all come from the same melting pot of universities where they're all, you know, left-wing nutbars who this, you know, racism, sexism, you know, gender identity, all the buzzwords that we hear now, they've come from university with that, and they're now sat in the media and in the papers, and they just want to racialize, sexualize, anythingize everything and anything, which is anti-British, anti-white. Yeah, remember in Scotland, the Justice Minister, white. The Justice Minister, white. He's white. He's white. Yes, but your country is 95% white. So if you pull people into your government that are running your judiciary or whatever it might be, the chances are they're going to be white because your country's white.
Yeah, but no, I agree. Well, yeah, obviously that's the law of statistics. But no, I'm just thinking to myself that the whole thing though about Jed, you're making about university types. See, football has always been a working class game, going right back, right to the origins. I know enough about it to understand that, and I think, as Jed says, these sneering metropolitan leftists in the media, they pretty much despise the fans anyway. They caricature them as kind of Neanderthals out for, you know, for lager and a fight. So I think there's truth in what Jed's saying. The media itself does not look upon football favorably, unless it's the American ladies Olympic football team, which catastrophically lost 3-0 to Sweden last night. Go Sweden, by the way, in that one. Because, of course, the American women's football team is mega woke and most of them hate the United States. I don't know. Did you see the imagery out of the American ladies taking the knee in that game?
Well, you see, David, you seem to forget the American ladies football team lost because of patriarchy, apparently.
No, they lost because Sweden's a better team.
But they also lost to the under-15s as well, didn't they? When they played the under-15s.
They did, yeah. Well, but this is the thing. You see, I think what I like about football, as much as I do like it, is it's not particularly woke. And it should be just a good contest. And rugby, which I'm a big fan of, sort of similar. But there's a definite determination there to inject the sort of woke politics into it, you know, in whichever way. Actually, I may as well say this one is in my head. The commentary, why is it that women have to commentate on men's football? Why is that?
I don't know.
You
put hand grenade on the table. What can you say without... I don't know. I don't know. I think, you know...
Because of mid-diversity, that's why.
But diversity.
You now have to have representation from every group, no matter how big or small, and they go, women make up 50% of the population. Well, that's fine. It doesn't mean they know about football. You know,
some women, to be fair, some of them are all right, Jed. I don't have a massive issue with it, if I'm honest, but some are all right. What made me laugh, though, was the BBC kept describing the Euro finals as the men's Euro final, as though, you know, oh, glad you cleared that one up, you know. There might have been 20, 25 million people watching the women's final. I don't think so. It's like the, you know, when they sacked Matt Letizia and the rest on Sky because they were good, you know, they knew the stuff, the skin colouring or set, it shouldn't come into it. It should be whoever's best. It's the equality of outcome kills everything. It's got to be equality of opportunity and let the best people do the job. And actually, those people really good. It's like Clive Tilsley got booted, didn't he? And others because they're older and white and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And, And actually, it's to the detriment. I mean, I put the radio on and they were talking about football, and the guy on it couldn't string his sentences together. He was hardly coherent. And that isn't a step forward. That's just, yeah, okay, you the guy you're giving your 100 grand diversity job to at the BBC gets a pat on the back, but actually the quality of your output has just dropped. So it's not about the skin colour or anything like that. It's about who is actually best for the job. And that's the same with anything in life, in my view.
It is, Ed, but that's not how they're doing it. You know, and I know.
No, it's not.
You know, that's why we end up with, even taking it away from sport, because in between the sport, we've got adverts. Every single married couple in this country now are mixed race couples. If you look at the advert.
Yeah.
They have mixed race children. The only time you see a white person is a white woman or an old AOAP type white man. You don't see a middle-aged white man or a young white man.
Now the sort of middle-aged white man is portrayed as the bumbling idiot a little bit that needs things explaining to him or is a bit stupid. Gammon. A bit like your cartoon character there, isn't it? Peter Griffin or Homer Simpson, or you know, that's the portrayal of the middle-aged white.
Don't you have a go at Peter Griffin?
but I just think that the more we can keep wokery away from sport, the better. But the difficulty is that if it's going through the medium of the TV, I don't see how you can avoid that. They will inject it. I mean, the amount of nonsense talked about taking the knee by the Gary Linekers of this world is off the radar. All garbage, makes no sense. They all deny the reality of what taking the knee represents.
Yeah, but it's Brexit again, isn't it? If people are saying we don't like it and this is why, and there's but you're just stupid, idiot, thick race. You know, it's the same mindset again. And we're going to keep on doing it and keep on doing it because that's the, you know, you're wrong and we're right. And that's that mindset. It's why I think we as fans need to strongly push back, you know, all fans from all clubs.
Do you not think it's going to destroy sport? Like if you look across to the States and you look at like the NFL, for example, which is mega woke, their viewing figures are through the floor. I'm sure. I say we have City Cole on that. He can confirm this.
You can't ask him on because he said go Manchester. So he's in my bad books now.
He really hits Liverpool. but stripped off your UNESCO status, by the way. I just should point out. I saw that in the news yesterday.
Well, that's what happens when you vote corrupt Labour officials in year after year after year, and councillors and councils and. Yeah, I mean, no surprise. I mean, absolute own goal, but what do you expect?
Well, at least it was a goal. If Marcus Rashford was taking it, it wouldn't even... Oh, I made another Marcus Rashford joke. But, look, I think the punchline in all of this is that British sports fans, be they F1 fans, be they football fans, be they rugby fans, they're some of the best, most sporting-minded individuals in the world. Yes, there's tribalism, as you say. Yeah, of course there's tribalism. Totally understand that. And I know the intense tribalism between Liverpool and Manchester or Arsenal and Tottenham. Yeah, but that's...
We like it. Leave us alone. We enjoy it. You know what I mean? Well, leave us alone. Stop getting involved. We like that, you know, that rivalry and giving each other abuse and that tribalism. What's the issue? You know, just leave us alone. I mean, when I saw Owen Jones and all that lot, Navarra Media with their England shirts on, you know, it's just like, go away. Just leave us alone. You know, leave something to us, you know, as we can enjoy.
We have the anti-racism message. So we have this little advert where it's all black and white, and every driver says the bit of this whole spiel that they have, and it's, you know, I stand with, and then there's the one driver, Hakkinen. Now, he says nothing in the video. They just show his image as black and white, and he's also one that will not kneel. He never speaks about the We Race as One or anything like that. He doesn't promote it. He goes and stands where all the others go and kneel. Oh, there's only about 9 of them that kneel now out of the 22 drivers. But he says nothing. He says nothing in the video either. All they do is show a slow pan image of him because he will not bow to it. But all the other ones, you know, said a little bit and what have you. And then obviously Lewis has his main piece he has a couple of bits in it, but the main piece at the end, you know, it starts here and it starts now type thing. But he's the least person that's probably faced racism. He's been backed by money since the age of 8.
No, I know we said that.
If we were racist, he wouldn't be 7 times world champion.
No, if we were racist, Marcus Rashford wouldn't be playing in the position that he's in. But Ed, how do you feel as, you know, as an England supporter, how do you feel when you see all those players taking the knee?
Well, I'm a Liverpool supporter first, then England. I've just it's embarrassing, really, because I mean, what's telling to me is the people who've railed against it have been the black players, and more power to them, like Zaha and people like that. Because I don't think the white players feel they can. I'm sure a lot of them actually don't agree with it. You've got to ask a year on, what is the point? What actually is the point? What is this doing to anybody other than annoying quite a hefty section of the fans? You know, what is it changing for the better? Because from what you read, everything's got worse since they started doing it. If you believe the BBC with the mural and everything, it's got 10 times worse since the whole thing started. So it's not curing racism, is it? It's just immensely frustrating. And you know, Southgate was pathetic through the whole thing with his statements, and then all the other countries, and it proved it's political and it's not about equality, because the countries that weren't doing it, when they played England, did it. They were put under pressure to do it. So they didn't believe in it. It became political, and, you know, Sturgeon, the Scots will take a knee when they hadn't done it. Because it's political. The whole thing is political, and it's nothing to do with equality. You know, I'm sorry, but in my experience, the left generally don't give a toss about minorities. They think minorities are people they can use and abuse for their own aims. And so it's not helping anybody. It's a political statement.
And Jed, can I ask, how do you feel when Lewis Hamilton does his party piece, when he wins and he gets down on his knee and stuff? How do you feel about that?
Well, just to qualify that with, I've watched F1 for 30, 40 years now or more. And, you know, when it was on the BBC and it was Murray Walker, what a brilliant commentator. And then when it went to Sky, I was dubious because I'd seen how Sky had treated football, with all its analysis and all that. I thought it's going to spoil the enjoyment. But actually, Sky, I think, have done a fantastic job, and they really have. But now, at the beginning of every race, I have to put up with this. So now, actually, I watch all the build-up. So I'll watch, practice on a Friday. I'll watch quali on a Saturday, morning practice on Saturday. I'll watch the warm-ups. I'll watch it all. And then the build-up is an hour and a half to the race. And when it comes to that, which is, about 5-10 minutes before the race, that comes on, I go out the room. Because I'm fed up of seeing it. It's not as if it happened for one race or a few races. We're now into our second season of it. And I am fed up. And I walk out.
Isn't it interesting with both of yourselves, Ed and Jed, you know, you really enjoy those particular sports and you really despise the injecting of politics, because that's what it is. It's politics and possibly worse than that into it.
And just to be clear, it would be the same for any politics. You know, this isn't about what it is. It's about fiddling with something that's been good for 120 years and inject it. You know, everything now has become politicized, and that's the big problem for me, because it'll ruin it. It will ruin it. I already know people are saying, if this carries on, I'm not going anymore. People have been going for decades. They're sick of it.
But it's not just in sport, though, is it, Ed? It's all been politicised. No matter what, even going to the shops now, it's politicised in your supermarkets, because they're promoting, you know, Black Lives Matter at Asda or Sainsbury's or whatever it might be. Not that I can afford to shop in Sainsbury's.
I'm sure you can, Jeff. But I know. Or, you know, rainbow this and...
Yeah, you know, that's it. I want to go buy my food, or I want to watch my sport. I watch the sport for sport.
And let's be honest, as Brits, we don't like being lectured to, do we? We don't like whatever it is, people telling us what to think. We just don't. And, you know, it's like the Jehovah's Witnesses on your door, isn't it? Putting the foot in the door. I'm not interested. You might have the greatest message in the world, but I really don't want to hear it, because that's the way we are as Brits. So
you see, I watch GT as well, though. And I'll catch GT racing. Yeah. You know, in Ferraris and stuff like that. They don't do all this political crap.
No.
It's only, you know, the F1s and the football, because obviously that's, you know, the bigger sports, but the smaller sports of my side, you know, the most sports don't do it.
Yeah.
No, but the big ones do.
The big money making ones do.
Yes, yeah. Big corporations are quite happy to grift off the back of BLM or whatever it is. They're very happy to do that, or the rainbow stuff. I mean, you know, they think that it is probably good PR for them. And so they all go with it. As you said, Ed, it would be a very brave guy who actually stood up and outrightly condemned it. But it needs to be condemned, because it is wrong. We should speak truthfully. And the grovelling to BLM is just utterly, utterly wrong in this country.
Yeah. But the thing is, I don't think it makes commercial sense, because what you just mentioned there, I think it was Gillette posted I might be wrong on the number, so, you know, someone will probably catch me out here, but I think it was a $3 billion loss after the immensely woke campaigns. You know, sales plummeted and they posted a huge loss. But the CEO came out and said he would do it again because it was the right thing to do. Well, I'm sorry, you know, but if you're a shareholder or you're in business, a Yorkshire Tea have now, from going from the enemies of the right to the enemies of the left, because they've got embroiled in political arguments online.
Yeah,
I know you've run business there. You know, I would not get involved. You know, just do, you know, sell tea. That's what you do. Don't start Ben and Jerry's. You know, we're not going to sell to bits of Israel or whatever. This is insanity. You know, and what's happened to these board members and management teams that they're suddenly alienating parts of their customers? If you say nothing, you're not alienating anybody, so you're not going to be suffering. I just don't get it. It doesn't make commercial sense.
You see, these board members, you know, are probably in the 40s, 50s, maybe 60s, and they're being advised by the people that have just come in from university.
Yeah.
You know, the lower down people are going, oh, yes, boss, you know, you should be having a stance on Black Lives Matter, or you should be having a stance on, you know, rainbow this and transgender that. And, you know, we need an ice cream that screams transgender. And they're going, oh, is that what the kids are into now? We'll have that. These board members really don't know what they're doing. But the bottom line is, if I was a shareholder, I'd be voting them out. Because I want maximum profit, which is maximum customers.
Can I just wanted to bring out, didn't want to let this one. We have Donnie Girl all the way from Hawaii on the stream. It's good to see her. She makes a point. She's glad that the US women's soccer team lost. Is that bad of me? And then I love this comment. Donnie Girl, were they all genuine women? LOL. Quite right, Dave, because as we know, there's really no doubt. I mean, you can identify as either or none of the above at any point in the 24-hour cycle.
That's the answer, isn't it? They just need to draft a few men identifying as women in for the next game.
Well, we're going to see that in the Olympics. I mean, we've got this Japanese Olympic. Well, I'm not sure even what's still going to happen, but whatever happens anyway. There's some interesting competitors in that one, which we probably
talk
about. We're not getting into that topic just yet.
But what a sad state of affairs that people are wishing their own country loses because of what they're doing. I mean, if that doesn't speak volumes for the kind of folly this whole thing is, then nothing does. That people want their own country to lose.
I saw a news piece. Sorry, David. I saw a news piece where an American news was saying that they were talking about the women's team losing and how it was patriarchy's fault that they lost. But also part of this news piece was they brought up a stat where it said the women's team in one season scored 13 goals. Yeah. The men's team in all the seasons have only scored 12. So therefore, the women's team should be paid more because they scored more goals, so they've worked harder. but it didn't comprehend that the money generated, which is how they pay what they pay their players, is generated from TV revenue and ad revenue. And if the women only bring in, because they were saying the average American football, they call it soccer, of course, football player is on something like $300,000 a year. The average female football player is on $90,000 a year. And that's unfair because they're doing the same thing. And then that's where they brought up the goals. But they don't seem to realize that the men's sport generates billions of dollars in revenue and the women's sport does not. So you can't take, we've only got $1 billion and we need to spread it around 100 teams and we can only pay you $90,000 each, where we've got $20 billion around 20 teams and we can pay you $300,000 a year.
But this is where, for some reason, media, whoever, nobody seems to push back against this nonsense. It's like me saying, I'll go and sing at the karaoke and I should get earned the same as Liam Gallagher and Oasis, you know.
I think you should, Ed, I've heard you.
It's insane, isn't it? It's absolutely insane because you'll get 300, 400 people at a women's soccer match. You'll get 60,000. You know, it's obvious why you can't, or to bankrupt the sport. I mean, it's just nonsense world we live in where people just come up with the most ridiculous statements that make no sense whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, but this was on the news.
I know.
Well, it was on one of these news type programs where they have a live audience, and the audience was clapping when she said they should be paid more because they scored more goals. Well, hang on.
But play football to a level that you fill the stadiums with 50,000 people, and then fine, no one will object. Yeah. You know,
but if they did that, the money would be there to pay him $300,000 a year as a player. But the money isn't there to pay him that. It's just
who's
like
going
to
pay for it? Just ask them who's going to pay for it. Yeah.
You know, there isn't the cash to pay.
Yeah, it's well, I think we just introduced economics into the discussion. And as somebody observed here, City Troll said, Marxists don't understand economics, Jed, and that is the issue. A lot of the most fervent people pushing for equality haven't got a clue about economics. Anyway, I think we need to wrap things up, folks. Hang on. Donnie Girl says, I was a sprinter in track and field. I always look forward to watching. No, I don't care. When is the opening ceremony? I have no idea. When is the opening
ceremony? Interestingly, the director of the opening ceremony was fired because they dug up an offensive joke he made 23 years ago. So I'm not sure about that. It might have happened already, but the offence archaeologists managed to dig up something he said 23 years ago, and they had to fire him the night before the opening ceremony. So, yeah.
You see, Ed, and I saw that as well, and it was quite a big story on talk radio today. But what you're going to find is all these people, we now have generations that have grown up, been born and grown up with the internet. And what they're going to find is more and more these archaeologists are going to go through the past, dig things up to get them fired, to you know, whatever it might be. And you're actually going to find that people are going to start going, I don't want a profile online. Because that profile online is going to come and bite me in the arse 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the line. Yeah. And I'm going to lose the career I've built because of something I did, you know, when I was 14 or 15 year old or whatever it might be. And yeah, I think you'll find the more that this happens, the more people will start going, well, hang on, I don't want an online profile because I don't want it to come and bite me when I'm a married person, you know, with a career that I've built over 20, 30 years.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right. The cancel culture mob are very short-termist. They're doing it for a quick fix. The buzz of, you know, I hate that person and I've ruined their life and it's great. They're not thinking in the long term, unfortunately, which
but
is why
come back to buy.
No, of course it will. Of course it will. But that's why it's frustrating when companies bow down to cancel culture and are bullied by the mob instead of everybody saying, "Whoa, hang on a minute," you know, poke it, because you're just a noisy minority. You're activists, and we need to resist it, because you're right, it will ruin lives. I mean, it doesn't lucky I'm lucky, it doesn't matter to me. I don't work for anyone now, so I've got no problems or anything to worry about. But for a lot of people, it's a massive consideration, isn't it? Especially in the public sector. If you're in the public schools or universities working in the public sector, yeah, you're in trouble.
I think, yeah. But having said that, for young people not to go on social media, I think it's very, very good advice. They can equally invest their time in better pursuits. The only downside be that there would be potentially they wouldn't get to listen or watch us, because I have to say, the R has gone by, folks. So we're going to have to wrap this one up. So a big thanks to Ed for coming on the show tonight. Good to see you again, Ed. Jed, thanks for your making it all happen in the background as well. Thank you to everybody on the stream for some of the I like the comments, good witty comments, as well as some perceptive comments. So that's good stuff. And Jim, just make sure mahalo and aloha. And what does mahalo mean then, Donny girl? I don't watch my Hawaiian is limited. I can say mele kalikimaka though. Hmm? Does anyone know what mele kalikimaka means? No?
No.
I'll save that one for another time. But yeah, you got a little bit of Hawaiian there just to finish events off. So listen, thanks everybody. Thank you very much for your time. And we'll catch up with each other real soon. That's it for me. Night, Ed. Night, Jed. That's it, folks.
Good night. Bye. Good night.
Good night, everybody.